The 70s and your average coral reef have one thing in common. Shag carpets are a bad idea. In either case, you need to watch your step because you never know what lurks underneath. The tasseled wobbegong spends most of its days pretending to be nothing but an unkempt rug. While most sharks waste their energy spinning their wheels and chasing after meals, the old TW likes to do things the lazy way. It's the crocodile of the reef, an ambush predator with a ridiculous amount of long-suffering. But sometimes the deadliest strategy isn't constant effort, it's explosive patience, like the tasseled wobblegong shows here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy, your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. I'd like to hear more of Cassie's music. Please search Cassie's show on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on here. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at ldtaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a sea rug that expresses deep sorrow and wretchedness. But more on that later.
Wretch that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Correct. Calling this creature Paul.
Calling this creature a creature.
We are talking about the tasseled wobbegong. Not wobbegone, which is what I thought.
Wobbegong.
Wobbegong? That makes more sense. It's not woe.
Wobbegone?
Yes.
That reminds me of, did you know that the late middle school stage for Cub Scouts is Weeblos?
I have heard that term, yes.
Which is it's not even a portmanteau. Like, it's just a Frankenstein of the phrase, we be loyal scouts. We be loyal. Weeblo.
That's like the word goodbye.
What is that a mashup of?
God be with ye.
I don't like it. I don't like either of those things, but I like Weeblos less. And I was one, so I can say that. I remember when I found out about it, because we went from being tigers to bears to bobcats to tigers, bobcats, wolves, and then bears. Like, we had just gone through some of the coolest predators in North America. Mm-hmm. Come on, put panther in there. Can we be a panther scout or something like that? And nope, we're gonna go right on to Weeblos, like some sort of mythical buffalo, like wind like a wendigo and a buffalo put
Is
together.
Is it a ham-fisted attempt at making his, like, a native-sounding word?
That's a tribe? Very strong possibility. Because there is a lot of, like, Order of the Arrow and you know, like, Native American terminology in there. But, you know, you're in a pack. You're a Cub Scout in a pack, like... Let's just go through different kinds of bears. Could we be black bears and then grizzly bears? But why do we have to be Weeblos? Anyway, I'm going to rant about the naming of Boy Scouts. But when I found out that it was We Be Loyal Scouts, I'm not sure if I, like, slammed my hand into my forehead. But I probably at least pinched the bridge of my nose in disappointment.
In quiet protest.
Yes. But yeah, we're talking about the tasseled wobbegong here. It's also known as the bearded wobbegong, the tassel shark, the carpet shark, for reasons that will become apparent later. But we're going to call it here the Hoover Doom, the Settlers of Talit Katan.
Interesting.
And the Tragic Carpet.
I love it.
It's been a long time since I've been more proud of a nickname than Tragic Carpet.
Tragic Carpet Ride.
Talit Katan, it's a bit of a stretch. That is the name of the undergarment where Orthodox Jews place the tassels on their cloak from the mandate in Numbers. And these sharks settle at the bottom of the ocean. So they are settlers of Talit Katan. And they settle at the bottom of the ocean. They're covered in tassels. It works.
All right.
In honor of the new upcoming Avengers movie, the Hoover Doom works too.
I do like that. Would you like to know what science calls it?
Yes.
It's in the kingdom you know, love, and are in. The kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class is... Chordata's a strong... Like, we always talk about this when it comes to sharks, but Chordata's a strong word, but I'll allow it.
They have a notochord.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it's not about... Not even really a spine. You just need that cord.
Right.
Doesn't have to be bones. Just needs to be some sort of structure, I guess.
Yeah, this is a lot closer to being to the. I mean, this is more chordata than some of the animals, the fringe cases that don't have any sort of like bone like structure around their spine, but they just have a notochord instead. I think I forgot which one we talked about.
Oh, the
that had that.
I don't know, but there's marine invertebrates that are for some reason a chordata. Tunicates.
Was it that like it was called like the blue dragon sea slug that had a notochord? I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But anyway,
I bet you this is the thing that taxonomists came across, like those things, sea squirts. Tunicate sea squirts. Yeah, gold mouth sea squirt. I bet you they came across these and they found a notochord and they were like, dang, we have to put it in chordata, but this is not the spirit of the law.
Well, these are basically genres, right?
Yeah, and their genres are made to be bent.
It's like, we have to put this like Sarah Bareilles song into the rock category. Right?
Yeah.
You know, is Russia in Asia? But not really. Spirit of the law, right?
Right. Well, they're in the class Chondrichthyes, the subclass Elasmobranchi. Interesting. Cool. Cartilaginous fish. There's something called the division, which is Selachii. It's sharks. It's a group of elasmobranch cartilaginous fish characterized by ribless exoskeletons, a.k.a. sharks.
But I think Chondrichthyes is all cartilaginous fish, right? Because
including skates and rays.
Yeah, Actinopterygii is bony fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the dem bones.
Yep. The order is Erectolobiformes. I had to run up to that one.
And he ended with a layup. It worked.
The family is Erectolobidae, and the genus is Ucrossorhinus. Eucrosorhynchus.
It's definitely Eucrosorhynchus.
Eucrosorhynchus. The species is Eucrosorhynchus dasypogon.
You think that's what the allies were telling each other as after the Battle of the Bulge and they were about to enter Germany? You cross the Rhinus. No, I cross the Rhinus.
You cross the Rhinus, you dassy pogan.
you dassy pogan. What a horrendous thing to say to someone.
But yeah, that's that. That's the species. That's your binomial name.
Well, since we've mentioned the binomial name, it's time for my favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature for this animal, which in this case is Eucrosorhynchus dasypogon. That is Huddy's. That's something yeah. Anakin would say to Watto.
Yeah.
You cross the Rhinus dasypogon, Jawa Jawa.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, so what does that mean in English? Does that mean A, elegant carpet with golden fins? B, flat hunter, hidden shark? C, good fringed nose with a shaggy beard? Or D, ocean mustache with sleepy eyes? This is a haiku, by the way.
I guess we'll go with mustache. No, let's do the C. One with the nose in it. Final answer.
Your instincts are correct. That is Thank correct. Goodness. It is C. Good fringed nose with a shaggy beard.
I thought the nose thing was a red herring because it's too obvious. Rhinoplasty, being a surgery on a nose.
No, that's correct. This is from Greek. Eu means good. Eu. Like, it's the same as used in the word Eucharist. The crossoi is tassel or fringe. Rhinos means nose. And then, for the second word, dasis, it comes from the root for hairy or rough, and then pogon means beard. So hairy beard. Hairy or rough, shaggy beard. You
know. Does the rhine mean nose? River?
That's a good question. If it's Greek, then yes.
It's probably not.
It's probably German,
right?
I don't know. The Rhine is a long river. Maybe it goes into other places that decided to name it. I have no idea why they named the Rhine. But yeah. Eucrosorhynchus dasypogon means good fringed nose with a shaggy beard. It's good fringed. It's well fringed. I guess you could say it's well fringed. But it is good. The adjective good, not the adverb well. So it's fringed with good.
Well, good could mean well. Look at the concept of good,
It's fringed with good things. It's fringed with, like, cookies.
It's fringed with goodness itself.
Puppy breath and...
Puppy breath?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's good.
Interesting.
It's a weird smell that is like, I like this. I don't know why, but I like this.
I did not know that. I would think a dog's breath is horrible at all times of its life cycle.
Nope, not when it's a puppy.
I think you like the smell of dog milk.
Digested dog milk, if you please.
Oh, gross. But anyway, do you want to know what it looks like?
Yep.
Well, if you're picturing a shark, stop. Stop Done. Picturing a shark. Well, if you refuse to stop picturing a shark, then at least melt it. Melt the shark, because it is a tasseled woebegone is a broad flattened carpet shark. It's got a wide head and it's lined with branching tassel-like skin flaps that form a fringe around the snout, hence the mustache or beard look beneath the chin. And it helps it blend into the sea floor, apparently. If you look like a carpet, you look like the floor. It has a large mouth positioned near the front of its head, long fanged front teeth. The teeth aren't fanged. They're just like fangs. The teeth don't also have fangs. That'd be crazy. They're fang-like front teeth. And they have a large rounded pectoral fin. Their fins are big and round. It's crazy. This guy like avoided the skate allegations by the skin of his teeth.
Again, genres, right?
Right. Yeah.
He just skated by.
Oh, yep, he did. It's gray or yellow or brown in the body with a mottled patterning. It's covered in a complex mosaic of dark blotches and lines that provide excellent camouflage against coral reefs. Coral reefs, turns out, are very colorful. Different colors all around. Also, the seafloor, you know, shines mottled patterns of light, you know? So it works. It just works. It's a paradox, and yet it works. That is that, but how big is it? Welcome to the Blood Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself singing, or bubbling the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos is bound by law to guess who it is.
The authorities are at my door to arrest me should I refuse.
Mm-hmm. All right. Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show. Well, just there any part of the show. Nom, nom. You know who that is?
I don't like it. Whatever it is. Nope. No clue. Is it from a commercial? It kind of sounds commercially.
It's not a commercial. You might think it has the quality of a commercial.
Like if Yum Yum Donuts had a shark mascot.
It is.
This is what he would sound like.
It does seem like a shark mascot, I will say. If you're thinking of a street shark, you're on the right track.
I have never seen a single episode of Street Sharks.
It's not a street shark. It just has that kind of body.
Still lost. No idea if it's... I'm just glad you're not doing Shark Tale to me again.
It's everyone's favorite DC character, King Shark.
Oh. Yeah, he was in the new, the Suicide Squad.
Yes, which I've never seen.
Thing. I have also not seen either one. Apparently the most recent James Gunn one was better.
It seems like a James Gunn joint looking at it, and, you know, I'm kind of getting sick of that.
The James Gunn joints?
Yeah.
Hey, he was responsible for Guardians of the Galaxy 1, and for that... I will give him exactly one pass, which was Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
And then he made literally everything else Guardians of the Galaxy.
I give him one pass, and that is Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
We thought, wow, what a great take on Guardians of the Galaxy. And then we realized, oh, wait a minute. This is just the James Gunn movie formula.
He's just going to keep taking and taking.
This is the only movie he can make.
True. So I imagine his Suicide Squad is just DC Guardians of the Galaxy.
What an incredible source of luck that the biggest thing Hollywood took a chance on with him was a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and it turns out he can only make Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Well, they didn't take that big of a chance. It's like, okay, if this flops, nobody knew about the Guardians of the Galaxy anyway. This isn't ruining like established, you know, household names. But he ended up knocking it out of the park. And then I guess bunting every time after that.
Getting on base is getting on base.
Anyway, why are we talking about that? Oh yeah, King Shark. What a goofy character design. You're right. Very Street Shark like.
Let's talk about their length. They're 1.8 meters or 5.9 feet long. Some older descriptions have them at like 12 feet, but it turns out no, probably not true. The Eru flying fox is a large fruit bat native to Indonesia's Eru Islands, named after Eru Iluvatar. No, I'm just kidding.
That would be impressive.
It's probably named after some Polynesian thing.
Honestly, if it was a tech company started up in the last 3 years, I would believe you. Like, this one's Anduril. This one's Palantir. This one is Eru. Like,
true.
They named them all after Lord of the Rings stuff, which, you know, I'm not complaining. It's at least something to remember.
The Eru flying fox is one of the world's least known flying foxes and is currently classified as critically endangered with no sightings since 1877, which is why some researchers think it could be extinct, but it's not officially extinct yet.
How do you do that?
Officially extinct something?
Yeah.
If it's not that none have been seen since 1877, then what is it?
Yeah. I mean, you can't like definitively rule out that there aren't any left, right? So, yeah. I mean, there's always like the possibility that there's some cave that you just haven't found that's full of a complete breeding population of these guys.
That is an excellent question, because there are Tasmanian tiger truthers that are like holding out hope that, oh, actually there might be some Tasmanian tigers out there still, but they're like officially listed extinct.
I guess it's one thing if it's like a terrestrial mammal that's the size of a dog, it's like a lot easier to
find,
to be sure that there aren't any on this island. But when it's a flying animal that is, you know, small and, you know, can hide away in nooks and crannies all over the world, like, yeah, I would be very hesitant to say. That's probably why they haven't called it extinct yet, is because they're just like, who knows? I mean, it's probably somewhere out there, right?
True. Well, true or false, 9.4 Eru flying fox forearms go into the length of a tasseled wobegong. Why forearms? Because it's the only metric I could find.
It's the only thing they measured back in 1854 or whatever.
Apparently, when it comes to studying foxes, it's a good measurement. Forearm makes up most of the wings, so you kind of get a feel for their wingspan, I guess.
For flying foxes, yeah.
For foxes. I mean, for flying... For foxes. For bats.
Is it a flying fox or is it a bat?
It's a flying fox, I guess. Which is a type of bat.
I guess. I think. I'm actually not sure.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
I guess it's a fruit bat.
There's only
right?
one just a winged fox. Mammal. Category, and that is bats.
I guess you don't call sugar gliders winged. They are glided. If you said four forearms, four.
Technically, it is a mega bat.
It's a mega bat. I love it. I like that. That's, yeah.
The family Pteropodidae.
Pteropodidae? Pteropod That's not what I would call a bat.
Chiroptera is the order of bats.
Oh, I guess. P-T-E-R. Meaning, yes. Okay. Like wing. Mm-hmm. Instead of, it's funny. P-T-E-R-A means wing and T-E-R-R-A means ground. It's a complete opposite thing.
It's homonyms. P-T-E-R-O.
Or taro.
Winged foot thing.
How many did you just say go into the length of the, how many forms?
9.4 Eru flying foxes?
I don't even know why I'm trying. I have no idea. I'm going to go with true. Final answer?
Well,
absolutely
true.
Absolutely flipping a coin here.
Is the correct answer. The forearm is 190 to 191 millimeters or 7.5 to 7. It's about 7 inches long. 7.5 inches long.
Nice. I definitely used my in-depth knowledge of virtually extinct species, mm-hmm, and expert deduction and spatial understanding of what 7 inches is.
That would be a big fox. Yeah, I guess it would be pretty typical of a megabat.
Megabat is cool. Yeah. I would play a video game called Megabat.
If you put your like pinky and thumb out like the rock and roll symbol, put them next to each other, leave room for a bat body. That's pretty large.
I would listen to a band called Megabat.
There must be one.
There's Megadeth. What a name.
Not regular death.
This is mega death.
It's mega death.
Super. They were thinking of super death, but they decided to. And ultra death was. Uber death was also on the table. Ultimately, they made the very strategic and executive decision to go with mega death.
It sounds like a fake. It sounds like a fake metal band that would be in Bob's Burgers, you know? Mega death.
Mega death. It
it's
sounds
too
like
silly to exist.
Yeah, it was like, you know, how many times are we going to destroy Sauron before he's like mega dead?
Right,
like he's finally actually gone. That kind of thing.
Actually, metal is the Lord of the Rings is a huge inspiration for rock and metal. So maybe they were thinking about that. That's what the conversation was.
I hope so.
Let's talk about the depth that they live at, 50 meters or 160 feet, but they could also live up shallower depths, but they'll go as deep as 160 feet. They like to see floor. They like reefs, Christopher and otherwise.
Reeves.
Christopher's, Keanu's, all the reefs. Great Barrier.
They're brothers.
Great Barrier.
Christopher, Keanu, and Great Barrier were brothers. All went on to world fame.
Yeah, exactly. The South Pole Aitken Basin is the deepest and largest impact crater on the moon. And wildly, one of the largest impact craters in the solar system is on the moon. Is on our moon.
That is pretty wild.
I guess it makes a little sense. The fact that I guess the moons of a bigger thing are soaking up a lot of the things, you know? I don't know. Our moon is just big compared to us. So and also there's no atmosphere. So the craters on something with an atmosphere are going to be not as intense, right?
Yeah, but I mean, there's no the thing. Jupiter has 20 something moons, right? And there's some of them
but
are much bigger than our
moon.
I don't
know if it matters that Jupiter is got a huge gravitational pull. So if you get into the orbit, you're going straight at Jupiter. I guess it doesn't really matter because craters, I mean, stuff that hits the moon might be getting pulled into the Earth's.
It's, I think it's just pure dumb luck that our moon happens to have been hit by the biggest thing.
It's
the
a
hardest.
Fairly large moon in the solar system. What is the biggest? Man, I'm on a thought journey. I want to know stuff about the solar system, but it's
the
way
biggest
off topic.
Moon in the solar system. What is it? Is it Europa? Is it Io? Is it Ganymede? Probably not Ganymede.
It is Ganymede.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh. I was just listing the names of moons that I knew that weren't Phobos and Deimos from Mars. I knew those were pretty
Those are cool. little. Yeah.
Thank you, The Martian, for cementing those into my mind. Okay. The largest impact crater in the solar system is on the moon, called the Adkins Diet. What are we working with here?
Our moon is like dead center, which is perfect. It is the gold standard of moons.
We are the Goldilocks. We have Goldilocks moon.
Yeah, we have Goldilocks moon. Ganymede, Titan, Callisto, and Io are bigger.
We only have one moon and it's the best. So Earth-centric of us.
I know.
Stop looking up things and tell me how
I want to know
deep
if
this thing is.
Has a little bit of a, I wanted to know if it had a little bit of an atmosphere.
I don't think
it has. It possesses a tenuous surface-bound atmosphere, rather than a true atmosphere, a good, hearty Ganymedean atmosphere. It's true or false. 160 lengths of woebegone living depths go into the depth of this crater.
And it's 160 feet deep, so 160
exactly.
times 160.
A perfect 160. Is it moonish in its perfection?
25,600?
Ganymede is a good-looking moon. It looks like almost like our moon, but bigger. And it doesn't have the man on the moon, so it sounds good.
I like Europa. 25,600 feet deep. That seems really deep. I'm gonna say I think that might be too much. I'm gonna say no. False.
No.
Yes. I think it's less. I think this crater is
true or no. The correct answer is false.
Yes.
But it is 168.
Oh.
Woebegone living depths. It is between 6.2 and 8.2 kilometers deep, or about up to 5 miles on the moon in our backyard.
Well, good thing I'm not graded on which direction I am. It's false in.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready for some fast facts? Before the biggest fact that we've ever heard in this episode.
The coup d'etat? The crouton? Mm-hmm.
The coup d'etat. Yeah. The tasseled woebegone is found on coral reefs along the Northern Australia, New Guinea, Waigeo, and the Aru Islands. The reports from Malaysia remain unconfirmed. And we've got our eyes on you, Malaysia. We know that you're making up shark stuff. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm sure there's shark stuff in Malaysia. It is a...
They have a shark department.
A shark department,
probably.
For sure. Yeah. And King Shark Works.
Or a ministry of shark-oriented
yes,
items.
Yes. It seems like everyone but the United States is all interested in having ministries of things. We have departments.
They minister. They don't department. They minister. So I like that as a verb.
Yeah,
better.
We're running a giant Walmart. They're running a church. That's what they
their
want
government
to vote with their
ministers
government.
To its people hopefully helps them stay on track.
Our government refers you to a department.
Our government tells you that, transfers you to a different department and makes you wait on hold. And then that department transfers you back to the original department that sent you there in the first place. And you get stuck in the loop until you die. Anyway,
it is a common bottom-dwelling shark that lives almost exclusively on coral reefs. It is most often seen resting in reef channels, along reef faces, or on top of coral formations. You know, anywhere you could be in a reef. I guess reef, like crevices and holes. What's a reef channel? And can I watch it all day? Did they show Shark Week?
The Reef Channel.
You could watch the Reef Channel all day. I'm sure there's live cams of reeves, Christopher and otherwise. At night, it hunts fish, crustaceans, cephalopods, using its mouth to eat the prey. That sentence was going to end differently, but I deviated because it was getting too close to the major fact.
Yeah, well, first you said it was a reef shark that likes to live and around and on reefs, and then now it's a shark that eats prey with its mouth.
Well, you're welcome for not ending the sentence in a spoilerific way. They are aplacental viviparous, which means the shark gives birth to live young, but the babies are not connected to the mother by a placenta like in mammals. Like other woebegongs, it is believed, it gives birth to pups that develop inside the mother. But it's like, isn't it like eggs, just like sharks, eggs hatch inside and they develop a little bit more and then they get squirted out fish style?
Yeah, kind of like the marsupials of the deep.
Yeah, the marsupials. Somewhere between a marsupial and a mammal lives a placental viviparous shark.
A marsupial is a mammal.
A good mammal. Sorry, entire Australia. You cannot tell me the final form was, I'm going to give birth from one orifice and leave what is essentially an embryo to crawl up my belly into another orifice to finish developing. That's insane.
But what is that embryo called? What is it called?
Which embryo?
The thing that crawls into the pouch for a marsupial. What is it called?
A joey. Yeah.
So you of all people should understand.
It's a fact I have despised since childhood.
You should sympathize with the plight of the joey.
I despise sharing a name with a prototypical mammal.
A prototypical mammal. Yeah. It's the next stage.
No, I'm saying it was a prototype and the perfected version is now like rats.
Rats and crabs.
Yeah, we're all rats and crabs here. Their pups measure about 8 inches at birth. They come out quite a fish. It also regularly cleaned by cleaner shrimp and cleaner wrasses, which remove parasites from its skin. That nice little commensal relationship there.
And we've talked about the cleaner wrasses.
No, that's not commensal. That's
Mutualism.
That's mutualism, yeah. Unless the cleaner wrasse is doing it out of the kindness of its heart and he doesn't like the taste of the parasites.
That would be commensalism, right?
Yeah.
Right. But mutualism is where it's like, I would not be doing this if I did not like the taste of the things that are on your skin.
Oh, you know what? No, cleaner ass has to be totally one way or the other, does not care if the care for the taste. It gets nothing out of it. If it doesn't like the taste, then it's something of a of a parasite. The shark would be, because it's getting something and the other one is negatively impacted.
Giving up something, yeah.
Commensalism is just like a one side. It's a parasocial relationship.
It's what is it? True.
Truman Show.
Truman Show. No. What is? It is too late for me to think of words right now. It's the word. Word that starts with an A that is doing things out of the goodness of your heart.
Well, I've got about 50 words left. Although the tasseled Wobegong has a reputation for being more aggressive than other Wobegongs and has been involved in several apparently unprovoked bites, attacks are rare and they're thought to be when, you know, caused by people accidentally disturbing a camouflage shark. You know, if you accidentally step on an ambush predator, you might get bit. That's how it goes. Not something to be feared, not something to be stepped on. And that's my 50 words. Do you have any big facts?
Yep. Also, the word I was looking for was altruism. Just couldn't think of it. All right. This major fact I'm calling Fury with a Fringe on Top. A little Oklahoma reference for you out there.
I've never seen Oklahoma. It's a musical?
It is. It's a musical. I grew up on musicals. I don't know if I must have talked about it here before, but I grew up on The Sound of Music, the Chitty Chitty Bang Bangs, the King and I, the My Fair Lady, the Mary Poppins. So like all these musicals. Oh, and then West Side Story, but there we always fast forwarded through the parts where like somebody was knifed, like in West Side Story, and there's a little bit of violence in Oklahoma that we always fast forwarded through. But yeah, the Pajama Game, Song of the South, not Song of the South, South Pacific,
Song of the South, Song it is of a the musical South technically.
Which South Pacific is the like the core content of it, like what it's about is not that kid friendly, but we just did musicals and ass. And Singing in the Rain, goodness, we watched that a lot. I've actually gotten my kids into that because the songs are so silly. But anyway, Fury with the Fringe on Top. There's a song called Surrey with a Fringe on Top in Oklahoma, because musicals make songs out of stuff that has nothing to do with the story. Like someone just says, hey, I got an idea, and then they sing a song called I Got an Idea, which doesn't, you know, that's it. So they like to ride in fancy Surreys, and they sing a song about it.
Well, good.
This is why I've grew up on the musicals, but now as a someone who likes movies or used to like movies, it's like looking back, I'm like, these songs don't
advance the plot.
They don't advance the plot, and they don't tell me much more about this character. It's just
singing and dancing.
I'm so happy, so I'm gonna sing in the rain, and I'm gonna sing a song about singing in the rain, and this is what the next 3 minutes is gonna be. But anyway, the tasseled Wobegong, as we mentioned, is an ambush predator. It uses the camouflage of its weird looking doily face to blend into the seafloor. And if you've ever seen a picture of this thing fully camouflaged, it's pretty effective camouflage. So it blends into the seafloor, specifically looking like a rock, like a reef rock. and ambushes its prey rather than having to chase its meals, which most sharks rely on having to chase their meals. So this is not entirely unique, but it's not normal for a shark to be an ambush predator. And one of the reasons for sharks not really being ambush predators is because you need to be still to ambush someone. You're waiting for something to come to you. You're the object that's not in motion. And sharks famously can't sit still. They can't stop swimming because we've talked about it in some of our other. I think there's a hammerhead shark episode where some fish have gills that they can pump, so they will expand them and contract them, and that will force water over the gill membranes. Force fresh water over the gill membranes with fresh oxygen, and that's how they oxygenate their blood. Sharks don't have that, and so in order to force freshly oxygenated water over their gills, they continuously swim forward even when they're quote unquote asleep. The tasseled wobbegong is one of the exceptions here and has pumpable gills, so that it doesn't have to constantly move forward in order to breathe, which is helpful if your whole hunting strategy involves sitting in one place. And then the way that it eats, or the way that it ambushes, is it doesn't do like the repeated biting that many sharks do, or an exploratory bite, and then I guess a great white shark is also an ambush predator, but it's constantly moving. It's just it ambushes from the bottom. But the tasseled wobbegong does not do like that, you know, doesn't rip and tear until it is done. It opens up its mouth so quickly that this powerful vacuum is created. And sucks the fish directly into its mouth before the fish really even has an idea of what's going on. This is why I called it the Hoover Doom. It's like it's just a vacuum. And it's just funny. It's funny to watch the videos of this because the fish is just hanging out next to what seems like a completely innocent and innocuous rock. And then the fish doesn't even have a chance to react or blink, if it could blink, and then it's poof, it's gone. It's just in the tasseled wobbegong's stomach. And the wobbegong has these needle-like inward-facing teeth, which prevents the prey from escaping after the shark swallows it whole. And then, you know, just the overall ambush hunting is an energy efficient way to get your meals, provided that, you know, something does eventually come along. So you're kind of trading like higher encounter rate, but it costs more energy, or you conserve energy and have a lower encounter rate. And that's what the wobbegong has chosen, is option B. And so it doesn't matter how fast the fish is, because usually reef fish are, you know, dart in and out. They're really skittish for good reason. And most of these fish could easily outrun or outmaneuver a shark in the water. But it doesn't matter, because by the time the fish's neurons have fired at all, telling it that anything has changed in its environment, it is already inside the wobbegong's stomach. So, yeah, this combination of camouflage, explosive speed, vacuum feeding, makes it a very effective and odd-looking hunter. So, that's pretty much it.
It's a Sarlacc carpet.
Yeah, if the Sarlacc carpet went on the attack and didn't require things to be pushed into it. An offensive sarlacc.
A shy halud.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm assuming that's the worm, right?
Yes.
The worm, the dune
in
worm.
In Dune, yeah.
Dune worms. And I think the new version has like thousands of teeth, right? Inward facing teeth. So yeah, it is very much like the Shai Hulud. Maybe I could have, if I had thought about that, I could have turned that into a nickname somehow. Instead, we went with the settlers of Talit Katan. Because it has tassels. All right. Do you have anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. That was the tasseled Wobbegong for you out there in Podcastia. Slurp up your tasty fish. Avoid meat that chews the cud. And tassel your Wobbegong like the tasseled Wobbegong here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
I love meat that chews the cud.